Survivor specialist John and McKenna are back, as always, joined by Kyle for our first jurors series, Bitter or Better. We've got an interesting group of seasons today. I mean, we start off with a bang with Cambodia, and Ko Rong is great, but our first juror is medevaced. And then we go into three seasons where the first jurors are non-existent women. And then I'm like, all right, then it's over. And then we move on to the next episode. So we'll have a lot and a little to talk about because, as Alex Trias says, Haley Ford 2, Electric Boogaloo, is in the building today. So let's dive right into Cambodia. So Cass is our first juror, Chaos Cass. She winds up voting for Jeremy, as do all of the jurors. And yeah. Kyle, give us your thoughts on Chaos Cass.
Well, there are very few people that set a tone and have strong opinions like Chaos Cass. So I think having her as a first juror is really just perfect. And I think that the tone that is set here was actually set before this season even happened in Cagayan, with her relationship with Spencer. Because they have a rivalry. They have a rivalry throughout this season where, you know, Cass had just saved him at the previous vote. And maybe that relationship, you know, didn't impact this vote too much, but there was, you know, some history there. And this is, you know, the third all-returnee season that we have in Survivor. So, you know, we see that history come in here again. John, I saw that face that you were making. What was
there's to be yes and no to it. I think what's really important about Cass being here, I think Cass kind of goes against the grain of what we see Survivor evolve into from this era moving forward. Because now we've entered the big moves era of Survivor. This is the point where everything becomes big moves. Everyone starts building towards their resumes and everything, right? And yes, like I believe Tosh is the first one to really reference a resume in Cagayan, and maybe it's this season. Either way, Dosh is like the first one to really like mention like resume moves and stuff like that. And with the shift into like voting blocks and everything like that that we see in Cambodia, this is a change in the dynamic of the game. And I don't think Cass quite fits into that archetype. But I also think that Jeremy knows that Cass is never voting for Spencer or Tasha because of their relationship from Cagayan. So like, I do agree with you a bit there, Kyle. But I don't think it necessarily paints the entire picture of how Cass impacted this jury.
Cass was actually one of our examples in the merge episode that we talked about for Survivor 50 that inspired this podcast series. And I really like Cass as a first juror here. I think she is... because she's a lawyer, she's really wanting to get to the bottom of everything and is in it because it is just a game. You know, let me see what's happening. Savage comes into the jury next, hot, hates Cass. And then he's like, I'm never going to spend any time with her. And then he winds up loving Cass. You know, they become friends in Ponderosa. Don't know what they're like now. But he's like, wow, I actually have good conversations with Cass. So I think Cass as a first juror, while she is volatile in the game, that doesn't affect her jury vote so much. Mm-hmm. I understand it's up against Spencer and Tasha. So there's a bit of, you know, past history that is coming into that. But if it was all new people, one of them blindsided her, I could still see Cass giving the nod to anybody who might not have like that past history that Tasha or Spencer do have with her.
Yeah, well, we know Cass definitely respects the game. Like, she votes for Tony in Cagayan, and they, you know, had their back and forth a lot, fighting a lot towards the end, but she still voted for him. And it's tough to know. I mentioned this in the last episode that we start to see a lot of landslide winners here. We have a few unanimous winners in this bunch. So the impact of the first juror, while Cass certainly does have an impact, it's a little bit harder to see when everybody is voting for the same person. Like, people from all different alliances and groups are all on the same page.
Yeah, it gets really difficult to kind of determine how impactful Cassidy is really to this vote and how much it is, you know, Jeremy's strategy that's really, in the end, driving how this vote turns out, especially because it is unanimous. I think, like, part of the big thing to consider, though, is Cass kind of goes into this vote really not liking how much Bion's, like, growing down at the merge. And I think it's really important to look at the fact that Jeremy, like, fits into the bro down a bit, but he isn't the broiest of bros. And I think it's really important when considering to get there. I think, like, Cass is one of those people who might sit there and be like, I don't want to vote for any of you. Oh, she like, doesn't vocalize that in this at all. Yeah. But she is the type of person who would go there and be like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to choose between these three people. And Jeremy doesn't put her in that position. I think she feels like fairly good voting for Jeremy here. And even if you look at her final tribal council question, it's all focused on Spencer and like the growth Spencer goes through. So I think her mind was already made up going into this final tribal council, as I'm pretty sure everyone's mind was made up going into this particular final tribal council. But I just don't see Cass. I don't think Cass was being super toxic towards Spencer. I don't think she had to be toxic towards Spencer. I mean, Daryl Seymour mentions that like she was getting a little bit toxic towards Tasha in towards the end of Ponderosa, but it wasn't necessary is the thing, right? Like, and I think that's one of the interesting things when we look at these first jurors for this section, right? Like, we're looking at jurors who are kind of like advocating for big moves and stuff, but it's mostly, McKenna, you mentioned there's like a lot of like invisible women. So we're looking at a lot of different types of winners throughout this section. And I think that does kind of play into these first jurors and how they respect the finalists. And I think that's the big thing that we're really looking for is like Cass's impact on this isn't, oh man, I'm so bitter, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's more, I respect Jeremy the most because he treated me the most like a human being.
I mean, her vote out episode had the whole issue with Tasha being like, oh, Cass is fishing for information, I'm giving her false information. Then when Cass brings the false information and is like, you told me this, and Tasha was like, no, I didn't, I never said any of that, even though we have the footage that she said, you know, Bion's no more, or even if she just shook her head to it, she implied no more Bion. And granted, that might be false information, but you still said the false information. So there was that whole big blow up between Cass and Tasha that, you know, wrote Tasha off just for this season kind of alone with Cass of like, I'm surprised that we didn't get a question from Cass to Tasha being like, hey, did you sell me false information in that vote just to clear everything up? Because that is something that other jurors would have mentioned, but she just kind of gave a nod to Spencer and was like, I see what you're doing. You know, maybe we could have a beer.
Here's another thing to consider. You mentioned, is Cass excited to vote for any of these people? And maybe not, but I think this is another example of like the person that she was really excited to vote for is the final juror. Like, I think that Cass is voting for Wentworth if Wentworth is there, and I think a lot of jurors are also. So there was a lot of pro Wentworth sentiment in the jury, and like that tone was set where if Wentworth gets to the end, she's probably going to win, but she falls one vote short. Now you have to reframe the way that you thought about the game. And in such a short amount of time, maybe that is the separating factor where it's like, Jeremy treated me the best, right? I have the best personal relationship with him. So right now, that is going to be the deciding factor for me.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Kyle. I don't think we really attribute how fast the turnaround is from the last person being voted out of the game into Final Tribal Council enough when we're considering decisions that the jury are making. and how it can change. And especially if you go through the entire post-mortem portion of the game, I guess like jury section of the game, and you're developing your ideas of what you want to see unfold, and then all of a sudden those have to shift really late into your process.
Mm-hmm. So, Cass, bitter or better? Honestly, I feel better about Cass. She's not, like, fully in the frame of mind of, like, burn everything. Because I actually watched the My Ponderosa for both hers and Savage's when we talked about Cass earlier. And she really just loves Survivor. And it felt like from those two My Ponderosa episodes that she was really just, like, here for the love of the game. And I don't see how that could be bitter for watching those, at least.
That's a good point. I think
she gives both Tasha and Spencer a fair shake here in this tribal council. Just turns out like they're against an immovable object in Jeremy, right? Like it was an uphill battle for them in the beginning. And then it also turns out that Jeremy just has a great social game.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Ko-Rong, because we've got an interesting one here, because we can't talk about Final Tribal Council and how they impact the votes, because it's Neil in Ko-Rong. He is medevaced from the game first to start out, and then Michelle wins an advantage to remove a juror. She removes Neil because that is an Aubrey vote. For sure, and a vocal Aubrey vote, where while Joe is not going to be that vocal, persuasive Aubrey vote to try and sway some of the other jurors. But what I didn't realize, or I didn't remember Jeff saying this, once Michelle votes out Neil, Jeff is like, okay, you're going to be sequestered from the rest of everybody tonight. He doesn't even have any opportunity to like talk or impact the jury in those final moments. So it's just whatever he's said the entire rest of Ponderosa. And clearly that wasn't enough, because he was darn sure Aubrey was winning the game. And that led Scott to be able to be more of that vocal presence to go for Michelle over Aubrey.
Yeah, I think that this is kind of a case where the person who is advocating for someone is doing them a disservice, because I'm not sure how much respect these people really had for Neil. Like, what Scott Pollard and Kyle Jason are not listening to what Neil has to say. They don't like Neil. So, you know, they're going to go against, I don't know if they don't like him, but they're not going to take his word for it. And especially what Neil says, like on his way out, as he's getting voted out of the jury, like he doesn't do himself or Aubrey any favors here. So he was worse for sure.
I agree, Kyle. I think, I'm just going to say, Neil sucks. Like, this man is so arrogant and egotistical that he...
That is unfounded.
It's completely unfounded. He's out there in his ice cream pants. Like, he's at a point where he's getting medevac from the game. And if he's such a good ally with Aubrey to, like, stand her at the end of the game, why isn't he giving her his hidden immunity idol? Right? Like, There are so many questions about it, and I think what it really comes down to is you hit the nail on the head, Kyle. These people don't respect Neil. Like, Neil isn't getting... There is no way Neil contributes enough to this jury to sway the vote to Aubrey, and I think that is something that we've really forgotten about Ko-Rong. And I think that when people go back with a revisionist history of Ko-Rong, and those who have always advocated that Aubrey should have won the game over Michelle, they point to this moment of like, oh, well, if Neil was there, then things would be different. No, it wouldn't have been. Michelle wins 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Joe and Debbie?
Joe and Nick. Yeah. Oh,
Joe and Nick. Yeah. What the heck? Okay, so here's the side question for Ko-Rong. Since Neil is removed from the jury, I guess Nick would kind of be the first juror now. And then he also votes for Aubrey here. So that throws everything else in a tizzy. Like, how did he not have the impact either of, hey, you know, let's not vote for Michelle. Let's vote for Aubrey. I think Aubrey has the best win equity or whatever. And that just shocks me. No, that it's Nick.
I don't think it's shocking at all. Because Scott Pollard and Kyle Jason are never being swayed from what they're
opinion. You know, I understand, but I'm just shocked that Nick votes for Aubrey. And I don't know where he draws that conclusion.
And that is a good thing to consider, right? Like, is that because he spent so much time with Neil talking about Aubrey's game? Because one of the big things, like, we have seen post-game, right? Like, Scott Pollard has said that if he knew how much Aubrey was doing, he probably would have considered voting for her. But that doesn't matter when you're in-game.
Right.
And, like, that's the important thing. Like, if you can't – and that's something that I think a lot of people forget about when it comes to Survivor. If you can't articulate what you're doing or demonstrate what you're doing, you might as well not be doing it.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's true. Right?
Like, especially in the eyes of this jury that can only observe things through tribal council. Yes, mm-hmm. Does Aubrey have some good moves here? Absolutely. But she didn't play the game necessary to win the season, and Michelle did. Michelle had the social bonds to make it so that she could win the season, and she catered to these egotistical men who would be the ones who were voting for who were really driving this jury. And I think that's the interesting thing is you look at these big personalities that we have on this jury. Yes, Neil is one of them, but Scott and Kyle Jason are just so much more personality that they're really going to drown anyone out and probably be like, oh, you know what? Aubrey kind of sucks.
Debbie. Yeah. Also, yeah. You know, I mean, she votes for Michelle, which is, that's another surprising, like, this whole final tribal is surprising to me. No. Not all of it, but, like, Sydney and Debbie vote for Michelle, and Nick votes for Aubrey. And I think Nick's jury question is more so, like, setting the tone for the tribal council, where he's like, I'm going to listen to everything you guys are saying, like, good luck tonight. I think that's what his question. So he doesn't give much off during his question. Like, you don't get a vibe of where he's voting. So that to me is why his Aubrey vote comes more out of nowhere.
Yeah. And Neil is very confident in that he has the beauties to go and vote out the bronze before he gets medevaced. He's confident in his final words that Aubrey's gonna win, basically. He has his little statement of Michelle suckling at the teat and that she's not a badass bitch.
Sidebar. You know why he makes this comment, right?
No, please tell me.
Before the contestants went out for Ko-Rong, Michelle's audition video, like, made its rounds on the internet. And he was referencing her audition video.
Does she deal with a cow?
No, she's the badass bitch of it all.
Oh, okay. I was like, which part of this?
Yeah. Like, this is a prepared statement from Nick. Nick was preparing to say this as a way of again, this really goes to, or sorry, not Nick, Neil.
Yeah.
And this really goes to show, like, how Neil was approaching this and how he was approaching being a juror in the first place. He had his mind made up. This is someone who never would have given anyone a chance because
So I think that he's someone where he wants to, we talked about this a lot. You want to vote for the person that you see yourself in. And I think Neil is the epitome of that, where he doesn't want Aubrey to win because he wants Aubrey to win. I think he wants Aubrey to win because that is him. Where he's like, if Aubrey wins, that's like if I won. Right. Like, oh, I'm going to get, oh yeah, Aubrey's winning this game. Like, it's more for himself because he's going to take a small piece of credit for that. You know,
I actually think he would take a big piece of credit for
or a big piece honestly. Of credit.
I think he would be like, oh, Aubrey couldn't have done this
for you.
I swayed the jury for you. Yeah.
Even if the jury all had their own minds made up, Neil would probably be like, yes, Aubrey, you're welcome. Can I have part of that $1 million? So the question is, Neil bitter or better? And we all know what he is, but I have to ask the question.
It's better. Like, it's not even bitter. I think, like, it's so interesting looking at Neil here and seeing. I actually think he might be the most bitter juror we have had since Lex.
Since Lex.
That we've discussed. And, like, Lex has, like, the outside portion of the game coming in and stuff. There's an understanding to the bitterness that Lex presents in All-Stars. But Neil, I just don't think he's a happy dude. Like, I think this guy is so full of himself.
Sweet ice cream guy.
Yeah, Survivor. Here's another thing about Nick, is that Nick was on RHAP. Like, he was an RHAP correspondent before he came on the show, which you wouldn't really know it by looking at him on the show. But, you know, he knew the game. He was a super fan of the game. And so I think he recognized what Aubrey was doing. So when with that knowledge, his vote makes more sense. But on the show, it comes a little out of nowhere. But
well, I mean, the other problem is that, like, the beauties get so under-edited throughout the pre-match of this season, except for Michelle, who gets her, like, one confessional every single time. So it's really hard to tell who is going on here, like, what's going on here with Nick, because we don't see a lot of him. Also, he goes home at the second tribal council he can go home at. No, the first tribal council, because there is no tribal council the episode beforehand, because Neil gets medevac. So it really does kind of put into that question of, like, what is Nick thinking as a juror? And I think what it really comes down to, this is a resentment vote from Nick here. Because I don't even think it's a, Aubrey's playing the better strategic game. It's the, Michelle's playing the social game I wanted to play, and I don't want to give her credit for that.
That's true, too.
Because I think it does go both ways. I think, like, and I think that's what's fascinating about this, like, duo of Neil and Nick here, is where Neil wants to vote for someone he sees representing him in the game. Nick wants to vote someone who's doing something different than he would do in the game.
All right, let's head on over to Millennials versus Gen X. We are going to talk about another Michelle, Michelle Schubert. She votes for Adam, as does everybody. And I literally have two bullets and Michelle's final words written down here for this episode. Michelle is excited to be back with Taylor and Jay. This is her confessional. And then Taylor is the thought for the vote here, but it's still early. They just want to break up Taylor, Jay, Will, and Michelle.
Yeah.
And Michelle not because she's associated with Taylor and Jay.
This will be a fast one. I think Michelle is, I think Michelle's actually a pretty good player. She is, I think, primarily responsible for saving Figgy and sending home Mari at the second vote. I know. So we can thank Michelle for that. So I actually think that they made the right choice on who to vote out here. Like, you're not really concerned about damage that that Taylor can do in the game, but Michelle could have done some damage. So she's under-edited, like, pretty forgettable in all honesty, but, like, I think it is that way because they got her. They got her early, and because she, you know, I don't know, she just doesn't have that popping personality. You know, they don't put her a lot in the edit, and she doesn't necessarily bring all that much as a juror, especially in a unanimous vote again here.
Yeah, the unanimous vote of it all makes this makes Millennials versus Gen X a little hard to evaluate, but I don't think it's as, like, everyone piling onto a vote as people think, because we have a lot of people saying, right, like, these were the two people you had to sit beside at the end of the game who would never get any votes.
Yeah.
I also think with Michelle's FTC questions that it shows that she is a game player and wants to get to the bottom of some things. I don't think she's spreading her impact throughout this jury. I don't think she's like, yes, Adam should win and telling everybody. Because then you have Chris voted out next, and he's one of those bigger, louder voices.
Well, I'm Taylor. Taylor goes before Chris, but.
Oh, boot order, right. But so she asks Hannah, how many votes were you on the wrong side of? And Hannah's like, just Michaela. And she is like, wow, that's impressive. Great. And then Adam, why do your victories overshadow your blunders? Which is a valid question, because Adam kind of stumbles through part of this game before he's able to get his footing and able to really succeed in the game and the strategy and, you know, maneuvering.
I think that's an awesome jury question, especially for someone like Adam, who had a really messy stretch in there, kind of a rocky game in some aspects. And once again, this is a situation where, like, the two people that everyone wanted to vote for in David and Jay go home right before Final Tribal. So with Adam, it's like, once again, you got to look at the game. So I think that that's a really good question to ask him here. And so for this, my answer is Michelle is a great juror. Like, I think that she is a better juror. Her question to Hannah is interesting because, yeah, it's impressive, but it, I don't know. It's like she was on the wrong side of one vote. To me, it's like not impressive enough. Like, a lot of people have been on the right side of a lot of votes.
A little bit of a nod.
So I guess I want to ask, like, why Hannah doesn't get more respect here, or why Hannah doesn't get more consideration. I know the label was put on her that she was, like, wishy-washy and just like, oh, you want to sit next to her at the end. But I feel like Hannah played a hell of a game here and definitely deserved more credit and more consideration. I think it falls
into that emotional player syndrome that nobody wants to vote for them. She had the public...
the panic attack at the challenge.
The challenge that she wasn't participating in. And she was emotional and younger and nerdy. Like, I don't know why people didn't give her... some of
we can't answer that question, but
it's just I feel like she falls into that emotional player and nobody's voting for emotional players.
In Backtrack by Mark Cameron, the past is prologue for a violent criminal with three names, Ricky Lee Pink. Pink has been rotting in jail for years, plotting revenge against the man who thwarted his almost perfect theft of $5 million in diamonds. That man, Wayne Cutter, is deceased, but his grandson, Arliss, is very much alive, for now. Pink and Cutter are about to collide in a violent confrontation on a floating city in the middle of the water, a massive cruise ship traveling around Alaska's Inside Passage. An experienced U.S. Marshal, Arliss must move fast but cautiously, or he may be the last of the Cutter family tree. As Survivor fans, it's not just the strategy and social dynamics that keep us enthralled. It's also the idea of man versus wild. This concept is at the heart of all Mark Cameron's novels, and it's especially prevalent in Backtrack. It's one of the main reasons I enjoyed this book, and as listeners of The Specialists, I know you will too. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, fan of wilderness thrillers by authors C.J. Box and William Kent Kruger, or just love a fast-paced action thriller from the likes of Brad Thor or Jack Carr, make sure to pick up your copy of Backtrack today. An Alaskan resident and Texas native with nearly 30 years in law enforcement, Cameron is a master of action and gritty detail. He brings explosive authenticity to Backtrack as U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter's manhunt will employ all his skills and knowledge as a member of the U.S. Marshal Service. Backtrack by Mark Cameron is available now wherever books are sold.
Yeah, I think it kind of just has to do with the way that Hannah presents herself on the island and how people felt like they could connect with her. And I think the thing is I think this season actually kind of does a poor job of editing, as both seasons do, the social game. Mm-hmm. And I think what it comes down to is, like, because it doesn't seem to make sense that Hannah and Ken get no votes at the end of this game.
Ken, it makes
makes a little sense. It's a little bit there in the edit, but it's not like fully there, right? And I think that is like a shortcoming of Survivor editing, where we don't get to see exactly how people are responding to people a lot of the time. A lot of the time we can see what people are doing in Survivor, but we don't see how people are reacting to what people are doing in Survivor. And I think that's really, really important. I think Hannah is a lovely person based on like everything I've heard from her outside of the game and all of that. But I think at the age of 24, in a very stressful environment, her personality comes off as almost neurotic to a sense. And I think that does rub people the wrong way. And I think that's where it goes down to. And I think when you have Michelle there as the first year, who was targeted by Chris and Brett, if I'm not mistaken,
That's
the ones you throw out.
The Gen X.
Yeah.
Because of that, I actually think Michelle going here as the first year is kind of important to Adam getting this clean sweep here. I don't think she's really being influenced by people, but I think because this is someone who does have a respect for the game, that's what I think she sees in Adam as a winner, right? And I think that's what Adam brings most as a winner into Survivor is he is someone who respects the game almost more than anyone. He's a true student of the game, and that's what's really impressive about his win in Millennials versus Gen X is that despite his blunders, he's still able to navigate and get to the end of the game with exactly who he needs to sit beside in order to clean sweep this game. And when you take that into account, I think Michelle is really important in that. And I think Michelle going here really does set a tone that leads to Adam's win. It's just not as impactful as like who's making the decisions on the jury. It's just the tone that the rest of the game takes after this boot.
Yeah, because she's level-headed, and you know who's not, they could have voted out. Like,
and Adam was the target at this vote from Michelle's side of things too, right?
Check that recruit doc. Is Michelle a recruit, or is she a fan who...
Oh, let me pull that up right now. My guess is that she was...
I think she applied to the game.
Either an applicant or applied to a different show. One moment. Michelle Schubert. I'm meant to have this doc pulled up already.
She is an applicant.
Yeah. And I feel like that is adding to what we're saying. That's why I wanted to double check. Because
and Hannah was not, by the way. So I mean, it's just that difference. Yeah. Like obviously Adam, gigantic fan. Mm-hmm. So
all right. Yes. Michelle, better.
Yes.
Yeah. I like I said, I don't think she really impacts the jury that much, but I think like her going really signified how the season was going to progress from there on. I think that's really important to take into consideration with these first jurors.
All right, it's time. Game changers. Haley Ford. We are back talking about her. She just can't stay away.
Been waiting.
I know, with bated breath. And she votes Sarah. I also have two bullet points for Haley, that Sierra thinks Haley could possibly have an idol, that she wants to split it between Haley and Michaela, and Sari doesn't want to get rid of Michaela, so it has to be Haley.
I would assume one of your bullet points, I do not consent.
I mean, that wasn't in the episode. The bullet point starts out vote out episode. She does not say okay. That. I'd said last episode that she has three memorable moments.
Okay. I want to take a moment. I'm going to grandstand game changers here for a moment, which I never thought I would say. Because I'm not really, because the season kind of sucks. But I think there's a very pivotal thing. McKenna, you and I have mentioned on the rewind before. There's a very pivotal quote from Jeff that happens at the beginning of this season that tells you kind of like what the production's plan for this season was. And everyone kind of just neglects it because they're like, game changers, these are people who have changed the game. That's not what production said when they introduced the season. Production said, these are people who have changed the game or we believe have the potential to change the game.
Mm-hmm. Or tried to.
Yeah, or tried to and couldn't get their feet wrong, right? And yeah, I agree, Daryl Seymour. Haley did change the game by being the first two-time first juror. And I think when we look at someone like Haley, you can see the potential in her, but you can also see why no one really wants to work with her ever. And you can see why she ends up being the first juror twice.
And even has Sierra, who's worked with her before, being like, we should probably get her out. Yeah. We're not working with her, but on the same season, because sometimes if you go into a show with someone on your same season, it's like, well, there's camaraderie, there's kinship. Since everybody wants us to talk about Big Brother, I'll just do it a little bit here. Like Dean Devins didn't work together in 50 basically at all, but now they're working pretty lockstep in Big Brother this season. And that's an easy thing for Haley and Sierra to do. Sierra to scoop up Haley as a number, but she really kind of casts her off from the beginning of the game and just doesn't work with Haley. And that's really, I think, also a downside for Brad, because Brad is, you know, Sierra's replacement in the final tribal council. So it's like, well, I don't want Brad to win because Sierra didn't work with me. Like, Brad wasn't great to me either. Troyzan was, she really should have voted for Troyzan because they were both there. But she votes for Sarah, who, you know, is able to articulate her game the best.
Yeah. I do think the I do not consent thing is important here. Mm-hmm. Or at least that whole time on that swapped tribe, it makes a big impact because she does spend a lot of time with Brad and Sierra, and she's on the bottom of that swapped tribe. They vote Caleb out first, but then, you know, she's just basically dead man walking if they go mm-hmm. back to another tribal, which they do, but it's the split tribal. And then from there, she's kind of being told what to do. She's not really allowed per se to like extend off and play her own game. At least that's like how she feels. So I think that she just is kind of unhappy this whole season. Like, she's in a bad spot and kind of frustrated, I guess you would say. So yeah, I can see why no one really wants to work with her, because like, what do you get out of her in conversation? She's not somebody who really like gives you a lot, or, you know, she doesn't seem all that personable in the game, to where anyone would want to like stick their necks out and try to work with you or bring you in. And this is the most no man's land of no man's land here, is Haley and Game Changers. Like, she was just absolutely lost in this game. Had no one fighting for her.
This season also started the jury kind of either open forum / outwit, outplay, outlast. So it made my life more difficult because now I have to watch the final tribal council. I didn't watch all of it. I just kind of looked for Haley's face, and she had this one thing to say. Wait, Brad, did you just say you use condescension to control Ty? And right from that, you can tell how she's feeling on Brad. Yeah. Because Ty comes in and is just like, wow, Brad really sucked because he made me feel small. And that is something that, you know, Haley takes to heart. And she wants to vote for a rightful winner. And I don't think I think she's bitter because she's not better. I mean, we're going into the other B's now and bland. Yeah, but
talk about bland.
I think one of the big things to consider with Haley, there are a couple of things about her game to really consider here. She is the only person who votes Zeke when she is voted out of the game. She's completely out on an island as to what's happening.
Michaela votes Zeke.
Does she? No, I'm pretty sure.
No, I just watched the episode. Oh,
you're right. Michaela also votes Zeke.
I watched this morning.
I also have the vote order in front of me.
You had to sit through this episode.
So, like, she's really out on an island here. Like, Michaela was also out on an island at the merge, if you remember Game Changers at all.
Yeah.
Michaela was not in a good position come the merge. And Haley was really on her island. Haley's also the only person who stayed on the Mono Tribe the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up actually voting for Sarah, who she never was on a tribe with, which is very interesting when you consider that the votes for Brad are from three of the next four people voted out of the game.
I feel like Haley is just on her own island still.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I don't want to vote for anybody I was on an island with. So you know what?
Sorry, Aubrey, who are you guys
conversation,
for?
I think this is one of those instances where I think it actually really benefits Sarah that Haley is this first juror here, because she isn't scorned by her. Right? And I agree with Daryl Seymour in the comments saying, I'm pretty sure Sarah was winning this no matter what. Nobody liked the way that Brad was treating Ty at the end of the season. Yeah. So that really did diminish his winning chances. Clearly, nobody respected what Troy Zane was doing because they didn't even ask him questions at Final Tribal Council, which is very upsetting. But Troy's at least humorous about it as he addresses it at Final Tribal Council. It's actually one of the best parts of that Final Tribal Council is when Troy says that. Because he, speaking of people who love the game of Survivor, like that is a man who loves Survivor. But I think Haley going as someone not scoring, let her go in without this idea of like, okay, I kind of hate Sarah now, right? And you look at the people who did end up voting for Brad in this instance. You have Ozzy, who's always going to vote for the challenge guy, especially if they break the, or they tie the male record for challenge wins.
Yeah.
Like Ozzy's always going to do that. You have Debbie, who may seem a little bit surprising to vote for Brad based on their conflict in the season.
Yeah, true.
But in the end, I think she was also just kind of like scorned by Sarah here. And then you have Sierra, who not only gets duped by Sarah, was also closely working with Brad the entire time. And I think what Haley sees in Sarah's game here is what the producers saw in Haley as potential, right?
Yeah.
This is the type of game that I think Haley was expected to play, this ability to like be incredibly social, which isn't really demonstrated very well in Game Changers. We see it a lot better in Sarah's Winners at War game based on the edit. But like, is this like super social game that's also strategic? I think this is what the producers wanted out of Haley, but they don't get it. And I think this is one of those instances of if Haley has to choose between really mean man, man who wasn't really there, and woman, she's going to pick the woman every time.
100%.
Yeah.
As you should.
Well, in this case, it certainly was a no-brainer in my in my opinion. But yeah, it's helpful to not have somebody on the as the first juror that is going to go against you, right? Maybe Haley's not like pro Sarah or really like championing that ship, but it helps when that person is not against you, because the start of this jury is a pro Culpepper jury. Like, you just laid out all the people who vote for him, and it's three of the first five jurors, right? So really, there's like a pro Culpepper tone being set in the jury there, and you have some more influential people like Suri and Aubrey who come in later. But it helps that like, you know, Haley wasn't influenced by those people who came in, because sometimes you don't know, like, if your opinion, you're not sure if your opinion, right? It's like, if you have all these, I think Sarah's playing a great game, but I have all these Culpepper people coming and telling me that how great he's playing. Am I wrong? Like, am I seeing things the wrong way?
But at the same time, how much do you think Haley Ford is getting along with Ozzy and Debbie?
Probably none. This was more of like a general point, but
yeah. But I do agree though, Kyle, and I think and more as we progress through this particular episode of this series, it's becoming very clear, like, the boot order is so important here, and maybe what we've determined through how many of these episodes we've done now, like, this is our seventh episode, sixth episode, math, I don't know.
Yeah,
I used it all up that one episode.
I know, this is our seventh episode. And through all of these episodes so far, I think it's become really clear that sometimes it's like, there are times where it's really important to get a juror on there who really will stump for you. But also, there are times where it's equally as important to get a juror who just like doesn't have a strong opinion.
Yeah, or isn't easily influenced by others.
Yeah.
Alrighty, we are going to Desi, someone who should have gotten so much more screen time, props, like all of this season, because when she came onto the challenge, she really like exploded on the screen, in my opinion. Thought she was a great character, and we don't get to see it because she's hidden by Joe, by Mike, by Ben, Chrissy, etc. And she has four bullets, which is twice as much as the last two, but still like not enough. She doesn't go on the reward, so she doesn't get anything with the pasta feast. But also, there's not much happening around camp. besides the fact that, all right, now Cole won immunity, so the vote split is on Desi and Joe, and now Joe is making a mess of things with Ben, and so Desi's like, well, I hope this doesn't blow back on me for Joe's shenanigans, and that's it. And that's all we hear from Desi in her boot episode. And I'm like, this is insane when if she was brought back, she would do damage to a season.
She does win a season of the challenge after this. So she is a challenge champ. Desi is so fascinating because we don't really get to see enough of her. And I think that is because of the personalities that Survivor's kind of pushing in the edit at this point, these big personalities. And just that healer tribe in general had a lot of them. So we don't really get to see a lot of her. Luckily, we kind of have an idea of how she approaches the game. We know that she is a very strategic player. We know that she does value like social bonds and athleticism and all these different things because we've seen her in another reality TV show afterwards. And I think what we really see from Desi here is this is someone who it's really hard to determine what her impact on this final tribal council is, but we know she's a strong and opinionated person. We know she's not really going to cave in if someone else comes in with a better idea. Now, Ben gets all of these early votes in this season. He gets the first five jurors to vote for him, and he loses the last ones. And a lot of that has to do with like the people who were the last ones were like the main opposition to Ben throughout this season. So it makes sense that those are the votes that he doesn't receive here. But I think what we really see from Desi is she's, again, one of those people who I think is more open towards a winner and open to the fact that, yes, in our winner rankings, Ben was very low because of, like, you know, needing the trinkets and everything like that. However, this is someone who still respects that hustle from him, even though he's not a hustler, he's a hero.
And in her final tribal council questions, because she actually is, I wouldn't say fully present in this final tribal council, but she gets a few good bits in there. And I'm like, this is why Desi should have been shown more throughout the season. But the tribal council is getting a little cagey. And she's like, hey, guys, remember, this is just a game. The outside world is the outside world. The people around you out there, you can still trust them. Like, just breathe for a second. It's a game. Let's move on. And she kind of is that calming force that, you know, we saw Dee chime in and be like, hey, like, let's just rein this in a little bit. And then in the outplay portion, Ryan is like, well, I didn't step up because I didn't know how to do these things. And I didn't want anybody saying like, oh, you burnt the rice. And then Desi chimes in and is like, well, I personally have never tended a fire. I've never cooked rice over coals, opened a coconut, used a machete, let alone seen a machete. Mm-hmm. So you can't really use this as an excuse to say why you didn't do anything in the game. And she is, you know, this vocal juror that I feel like could have been so much more had they shown her in any of the season.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, Desi, one of my absolute top Survivor crushes.
Very reasonable.
It's a good one.
Yeah,
very reasonable.
Yeah. I think, it was just going to be really hard to fit her into this season. And especially into her boot episode, because that episode is jam-packed with the pasta reward, the idol under the flag, the tie vote. You also have Lauren finding like a bank of vote advantage where she doesn't vote at this tribal council. So there's a lot going on. And I think Desi also like had trouble finding a way to fit herself into the game this season. Like the original healers tribe was a lot of like, you know, male dominated storyline with Joe and Cole and like their stuff. And then at the swap, it's all about Joe again, when he plays his idol. and she's just kind of a side character in that. And then she's voted out as like a healer purge here at the merge in the middle of Cole, who was causing a lot of the drama. And Jessica, who was like the main narrator of that healer tribe mm-hmm. for the pre-merge. So Desi, it was really hard to fit her into the edit and herself into the game here, I think. But she is level-headed. She does remind me a lot of Michelle from MVGX, mm-hmm. where it's like someone we didn't see a lot of, but you can tell they have a mind for the game. They are going to be level-headed. And I think that maybe that is why they put her on the jury first instead of Joe. They could have voted Joe out here. But having Joe as a first juror can potentially be dangerous. So I think that it was a better move here to put Desi on the jury as the first juror.
You have a very good point there, Kyle, because this was a split vote where they split the votes between Desi and Joe. And they in the revote, they decide to vote out Desi 7-1. Mm-hmm. It's very clearly Desi going here. And a lot of that comes from the fact that Desi was viewed as a larger threat here. She is someone who, and it's really hard to say that as people who are just observing the game as it's edited and shown to us on TV, but based on, you know, postseason interviews and based on, again, seeing her play the challenge, like, we know what Desi is capable of. And she is someone who can really ingratiate her way into a game. And if she was given an opportunity to do so in this, she would have been very, very dangerous. Whereas someone like Joe, who kind of comes off as like, I mean this in a very endearing way, like Timu Tony Vlachos, right? It was what he was going for and stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that, but because, and he gets an edit because of it. Like, it's right. It's very clear there. And we love Joe here at The Specialist, but this, it really does kind of make it seem like this was a decision between someone who could potentially win the game and who probably had zero chance of winning the game. And who are you keeping in the game at that point, right? You're keeping the one who doesn't have a chance of winning the game. And Desi going here, again, this is another, like, just like Michelle, it's a very tone-setting first juror to go, because it really says, okay, you're on notice now. Anyone who has a potential to win the game, and you have to navigate this. And then we get, like, you know, Ben being double Asian and making everybody mad at him, so he has to find idols for the rest of the game.
Ben says Desi is physically and mentally strong and compete with the best of us, so she has to go. Like, she is one of, you know, the best left in the game, but she's actually not the merge boot. We get to talk about how we, you know, were in the early days, where we had merge boots, but not first jurors. We have Jessica Johnston as the merge boot here. I don't think it changes much, if any, if she was the first juror. I think her and Desi hang out in Ponderosa for a little bit together, and I feel like we have the same outcome. I don't think Jessica's swaying it much.
I think it's really important that there's no healers in the final tribal council. You have two heroes and you have a hustler. So I think both Jessica and Desi going, they haven't spent the game with these people as much as other people have. Right. And it really becomes more of a decision of, like, okay, what is their impression of someone like Chrissy, who we know wasn't really making inroads with anyone on the season socially? So how are they going to approach the game? And I think Jessica being there doesn't really change that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ryan, too, their impression surprisingly was like, oh, you're not doing enough around camp, which is kind of an antiquated reasoning. But, you know, I mean, they can vote how they want. But it's interesting because Ben doesn't have a good final tribal performance the way I remember. So it is really good for him that he sat next to two people that were very respected. So if it was like, if he was against Devin, I don't know if Ben's like story or pitch lands as well, because he's going up against somebody who played like an extremely strong game and was more socially liked than someone like Chrissy, for instance.
So Desi, better?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Definitely.
Alrighty. Well, that is our show, everyone. We have bitter or bettered five first jurors, and we will hit you with another five jurors tomorrow. It is the last set of five before we hit the new era. So, John, let us know what's happening in the Specialist universe.
Well, normally you could follow up our episode with Phil and Once Upon an Island talking about the winners of each of these seasons we discussed today, but they did that recording on Saturday. So if you haven't checked that out, go back and check that out. Phil, Blake, and Will were breaking down our middle 10 of the winner ranking last night. And I was in there in the comments trying to defend McKenna and I as much as possible. It's really hard. It's really hard to keep up in the comments, guys. But there's some justification there in the live chat if you want to go back and look at it. You can also always like DM McKenna and I on the Discord or something if you want to know more. We do have that channel, the Survivor Rewind channel. So if you guys want to know more about our specific decisions on placements of winners, you can hit us up in there. Mm-hmm. McKenna was surviving the fandom on Monday. So if you want to know McKenna's story of how she got into Survivor and how Survivor made her entire life a lot better because she met us here podcasting with her right now, check that out.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to talk to Teg with how I became a specialist, how I got Survivor, et cetera, et cetera. Kyle, we haven't mentioned any of your most recent news, I think, in a little bit. So please, the Matt chat has two new-ish videos out.
Two videos that nobody listening to this is going to have any interest in at all, but there
you don't know that because I listened to both.
But U.S. winner rankings for Survivor is for sure going to be my next video. So if you can't get enough of that over here, I'll also be doing it.
But if in the meantime, if you want to know Kyle's Love Island character ranking and his ranking every season of Big Brother, that is over there on the Matt chat. Mm-hmm. It is linked below. So we will see you all next week with another episode of Bitter or Better. Goodbye, everyone.